Okay, today's daf is Makos daf Tes Zayin. We left off in daf Tes Vav Amid Beis at the bottom of the page, four lines from the end of the page. Today's shir is once again sponsored by Avishai and Elisha Venuman, Lizachus Rufor Shlemer, for Chaim Naftali Ben Frumich Freda, as well as for Sarah Freda Baschaya, Vishvotav Rufor Shlemer, Psoch Shar Chola Yisrael. We are holding, as we said, a few lines from the end of the page in daf Tes Vav Amid Beis. The first thing we're going to discuss is what we left off with yesterday, which is the issue of Hasra Asafik. Is Hasra Asafik Shema Hasra, or is it not Shema Asra? Can a person get Malkus when their Hasra that they received was only Asra Safik? And we're going to find that both opinions are Medayek from a Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. That Rabbi Yehuda says that there's no Malkus for the Isra of Nosar because it's a Lava Nitaklase. So can we be Medayek from there? Oh, but it's also Asra Safik. So apparently that would not have prevented the Malkus. It's only the Lava Nitaklase that would have prevented the Malkus. Or maybe there's something else that we're supposed to be Medayek. Maybe we're supposed to be Medayek that a lav she'en bo maisa, you get malchus on, because Nosa is also a lav she'en bo maisa, and for some reason that doesn't prevent the malchus. Only the idea that it's nita klase prevents the malchus. Then the Gemara is going to get into a discussion about bitl. We pointed out that there's machlokas at what point one would be chayiv on a chayiv malchus even for a lav anita klase. Is it when Beis Din tells you do the assay and you refuse, you don't do the assay in that moment, so now Beis Din can give you Malkus, that's Kimu Velo Kimu? Or do we say no, it has, you can only get Malkus when you've taken away any possible opportunity in the future to ever do that mitzvah sasei? That's Bitl Velo Bitl. So the Gemara is going to tell us that we only really have two examples where Bitl Velo Bitl can actually apply, where you have the ability to take away the possibility of ever doing the assay. So once you make a statement like that, you know, throughout Jewish history, the way Jewish scholarship works, anytime anyone makes a definitive statement, these are the only two examples. So right away, there are challenges. So the Gemara is going to have several challenges. The only two? What about, and the Gemara is going to have three different suggestions. Why don't we say stealing is an example? Why don't we say returning a mashkon, the issue of taking a mashkon without permission is an example? Why don't we say that peya is an example? We're going to have many other examples. And of course, the Rishonim and Achronim add on even more. Why don't we say other things are examples? So that's going to be the discussion there on the bottom of Amud Aleph, going over Talmud Beis, and then in the middle of Amud Beis, we're going to have a discussion about how many different malchios you could get for eating a single bug, depending on what type of bug it is. You can be chayav 4 malchios, 5 malchios, 6 malchios, 6 different chayavim malchios for a single bug. And then at the very, very end of the daf, going over into the next daf, we're going to discuss whether failing to take Maiser Ani from produce makes that produce tevel. So we're going to talk about that if we get to it today. So let's see. We are holding four lines from the bottom of the page. Tes Vav Amud Beis, says the Gemara. Va'azu l'tamayu. This machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Shlakish, whether Asra Safik Ishma Asra, appears somewhere else as well. We have the same exact machlokas in a different context. The Itmar Shavua Sha'ochel Kikar Zehayom. Let's say a guy takes a Shavua that I'm going to eat this loaf of bread today. Va'avar Hayom V'lo Achala. And the day goes by and he didn't eat that loaf of bread. Rabbi Yochanan Shlakish Armi Tarvayu Einu Loke. Both Rabbi Yochanan Shlakish say the person does not get Malkus for failure to fulfill his Shavua. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Einu Loke Mishum David Avshin B'Maisa V'Kal Avshin B'Maisa Einu Loke Nulav. Rabbi Yochanan says you don't get Malkus because it's Lav Shein B'Maisa. How did he violate the Shavua? By not doing. So you don't get Malkus on Lav Shein B'Maisa. Rabbi Shlakish Amar Einu Loke Mishum David Asra Safek V'Kal Asra Safek L'Shma Asra. Rabbi Shlakish says you don't get Malkus, I agree with the Halacha, but for a different reason. Anytime someone's going to give you Asra, by definition it's Asra Safek. Why is it Asra Safek? Person says, you better eat it, and if you don't eat it, you're going to be in violation of your Shavua. It's true. If I don't eat it, I'm going to be in violation of my Shavua. No, so we assume that the Asra Safek means that even if I violate the Asra, I still might not be in violation of the Isra that he tells me in that moment. Not just that I might not, that it has to be in that moment. So if the guy's going to come to me 2 o'clock in the afternoon and say, you must eat this, and if you don't eat this, you're going to be in violation of your Shavua, I could ignore him at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and still not be in violation of my Shavua by just eating it at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So by definition, any moment where he's going to give me Asra, it's always going to be Asra Safek. But the point is that over here we have Machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Why it is that you don't get malchus on the violation of such a shvua. Is it because it's ein b'maisa like Rabbi Yochanan, or is it because it's hasra safek? And the truth is, says Gemara, it's ravayu alib Rabbi Yehuda. Both of them are medayik their shita from Rabbi Yehuda, from a shita of Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya, because the Brisa tells us that we darshan the pasuk v'lo sosirim imenu ad boker, v'anosim imenu ad boker, that there's an iser in the Torah that you're not allowed to leave over meat of the carbon until after it's man until the next morning. And if you do, ba'ish tisrofu the halach is, you have to burn it. So that's a mitzvah saseh to go burn it. Ba'akasuv liten asei achalos asei. Lomar shein lokenal of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, by adding that mitzvah saseh as a way of correcting the violation of the law, the violation of leaving over the nosar, by adding that mitzvah saseh, what the Torah is doing is it's telling us you can't be chayiv malchus, because it has now become a lava nita klase, and you don't get malchus on a lava nita klase. Now the implication of Rabbi Yehuda is that but for the fact that it's a lava nita klase, you would have been chayiv malchus on nosar. So Rabbi Yochanan dayakachi, Rabbi Yochanan makes the following diuk. Time of the Baal Kosov, the only reason you don't get malchus is because it's a lava nita klase. Hello Baal Kosov, but had it not been a lava nita klase, loke, you would get malchus. Alma Asra Savik Shema Asra. It must be that Asra Savik Shema Asra, because any Asra you're going to get for Nosar is going to be Asra Savik. Someone's going to say, you better eat that carbon right now, because if you leave it over, you're going to be Chayv Malchus. I could ignore him, and then an hour later I'll eat it. I'll take care of it. But it's not going to be in that moment. So by definition, that's Asra Savik. So you see that Asra Savik, you would get Malchus. It is called Asra. It's only because it's a Lavanita Glass A. Reish Lakish Dayakachi and Reish Lakish is medayik differently. He says time of the Baal Kasuv, the only reason you don't get malchus is because it's a lavanit klase. Halo Baal Kasuv loke, but had it not been a lavanit klase, I'd get malchus. Am alav shein bo maisa loken alav. What you're supposed to be medayik from there is that you get malchus for alav shein bo maisa, because no sir is alav shein bo maisa. No sir involves just not doing anything, leaving the carbon meat over. So apparently, had it not been for the Torah making it nita klase, I would have gotten malchus even though it's ein bo maisa. That's the old diuk of Reish Lakish. But Asra Safek is loshme Asra'a, according to Reish Lakish. So I asked the Gemara, but wait, shouldn't both of those things be true? Meaning, if the Torah says that a lava nita klase, that the reason you don't get malchus for nosa is because lava nita klase, it sounds like had it not been for lava nita klase, with all of its other qualities, you'd still get malchus. I don't care that it's ein bo maisa. I don't care that it's Asra Safek. You get malchus for all those things. So why are Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan mutually exclusive? So the Gemara is going to question each one. Rabbi Shimon Lakish Nami Havadei Asra Safek Hu. Rabbi Shimon Lakish, he has to admit that it's Asra Safek, and nevertheless you would still get malchus had it not been nita klase. So Savlaki Idach Tana de Rabbi Yehuda Enoch Nami. But there's another shita of Rabbi Yehuda that he holds like that Asra Safek is in fact. Is in fact lo shema asra. Detanya hikazev v'chazer v'hikazev. Let's say a guy has two people who might be his father. He doesn't know who his father is. The identity of the man is not clear. He's a safek ben shiva le'achron ben tisha le'rishon, meaning a woman gets remarried very, very quickly, more quickly than she's allowed to. Normally there's a period of havchana of 3 months between marriages. It's precisely for this reason, because we want to be able to know whose child, any child that she's going to have is, but she didn't wait. So she got divorced, got married 2 weeks later, and then 8 months later she has a baby. So we don't know. What is that baby? Is that baby from the previous husband and it's a 9-month pregnancy, or is that baby from the new husband and it's a 7-month pregnancy? Chazal assumed that a 7-month pregnancy is also a normal pregnancy, that there were two types of pregnancy. There was the 9-month pregnancy and the 7-month pregnancy. It was unpredictable what kind of pregnancy one would experience. So let's say a guy has two people who might be his father. He doesn't know which one is his father. So he hits one of them and then he hits the other one. Kilel zeh v'chazer v'kilel zeh. He curses one of them and then he curses the other one. Or hikashneim bevasachas, or kilashneim bevasachas. Not one after the other with two separate asras. He gets one asra and he hits them both. He curses them both. chayiv. In all of those cases, you're chayiv, because in all of those cases, at the end of the day, you definitely hit your father, you definitely cursed your father. But Rabbi Yehuda Omer, and this is where we're being medayik from, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, bebas achas chayiv bezachar zapater. It depends. If someone said, don't hit your father, and then you hit both of these guys, bevas achas, you're definitely chayiv, because that was a violation of the hasra, and that's clearly something that you'd be chayiv for. But if someone says, don't hit Reuven because he's your father, and you hit Reuven, and he may or may not be your father, and then they say, don't hit Shimon because he's your father, and you hit Shimon, but he may or may not be your father, then you're going to be pater. So you see from there, why you pater? Because even though you definitely hit your father, the asra you got on your father is only asra safek. Because even by violating the asra, you're still not sure that you violated the isra with that defiance of the hasra. So that's where Reish Lakish is medayik from Reb Yehuda, that asra safek is lav shmei asra. So in Ochinami, it's not from Reb Yehuda's comment about nosar being a lav anita klasei, it's from this other shita of Reb Yehuda. Says Gemara, okay, Reb Yochananami havad lav shein b'maisa hu. Reb Yochanan is going to have to admit that nosar is also lav shein b'maisa. So why isn't Reb Yochanan medayik from Reb Yehuda's comment about nosar? The only reason you don't get malchus on nosar is it's nita klasei. What about the fact that it's lav shein b'maisa? Doesn't that show you that you don't get malchus on the lav shein b'maisa? No, sabla ki adam rav idi barav in amar rav amar mam rav yitzchak amar rav Yochanan. He holds like a different statement of Reb Yehuda, that Reb Yehuda amrishom Reb Yossi Aglili, that Reb Yehuda had said in the name of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, kol lo saseh shebetorah, lav sheyesh bo maisa lokin alav, lav shein bo maisa ain lokin alav. That the rule in Kol HaTorah Kula is, Rabbi Yehuda says that you only get malchus on a lav sheyesh bo maisa, not a lav shein bo maisa. So even though from Rabbi Yehuda's comment of Nosar, it sounds like you get malchus even on a lav shein bo maisa, because the only reason you're exempt from malchus by Nosar is because it's lav anita glasei. But Rabbi Yehuda has this other comment in the name of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that you don't get malchus on a lav shein bo maisa, save for three exceptions. Chutz min hanishba, umeimar, v'mekalas chaver b'shem. Those are only three examples of lavim she'ein bo maisa, where you would still get malchus, where someone is nishba, someone does tamura, and someone curses someone else using the shema mafarish, using the shema Hashem. Bottom line is, though, says the Gemara, so what do we do over here? We said, Reish Lakish, how can you tell me, Reish Lakish, that hasra safek is lo shma hasra'a, but according to the Braisa about Nosar, Rabbi Yehuda seems to say hasra safek is yes shma hasra'a. So what did Reish Lakish say? Now there's another Braisa where Rabbi Yehuda says something else. So that's a problem, no? It's a steer in Rabbi Yehuda then. And Rabbi Yochanan, you want to tell me that kolav shema maisa ain't lokin alav, but the Braisa of Nosar, it says that even though it's lav shema maisa, the diuk from Rabbi Yehuda is lav shema maisa, you do get malchus. So what do you say? Oh, no, there's another Rabbi Yehuda that says you don't get malchus on lav shema maisa. So that's a problem. It's a steer in Rabbi Yehuda. Bein Rabbi Yochanan, bein Reish Lakish, we only have problems now. So it says more kasha Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda. We have a stira in Rabbi Yehuda, whether you want to be medayik like Rabbi Yochanan or like Reish Lakish. So Gemara answers now, Ila Rabbi Shimon Lakish, Trey Tanai Libid Rabbi Yehuda. According to Reish Lakish, you have to say that it's two different versions of Rabbi Yehuda, meaning in a chinami, it's a stira in Rabbi Yehuda. Two different talmidim of Rabbi Yehuda reported differently what he held as far as Hasra Safik is concerned. From the case of Nosar, from the comment about Nosar, it seems that Rabbi Yehuda holds that Hasra Safik is Shema Hasra, but it's from the other comment of Rabbi Yehuda that about the two fathers, the two potential fathers, that we see that Talmud of Rabbi Yehuda thought Rabbi Yehuda held Hasra Safik is Lo Shema Hasra. And Reish Lakish says, I'm siding with the version of Rabbi Yehuda related to the case of the two fathers, where Hasra Safik is Lo Shema Hasra. Il Rabbi Yochanan Lo Kasha Hadidei Hadarabe. And according to Rabbi Yochanan, you don't even have to go that far. You don't even have to say it's a stira in Rabbi Yehuda, because the Braisa that talks about Lav Shein B'Maisa, that Lav Shein B'Maisa Ein Lokin Alav, is Rabbi Yehuda B'Shem Rabbi Yossi Aglili. So Rabbi Yehuda B'Shem Rabbi Yossi Aglili may be different than Rabbi Yehuda himself. Rabbi Yehuda in one case was reporting the Shita of his Rabbi, and the other case was reporting his own personal Shita. And those two don't have to align with each other. Hadidei hadirabe, as Rashi points out, Rabbi Yehuda lav shein b'maisa loker. Lav enochanami. Rabbi Yehuda himself would say you do get malchus and lav shein b'maisa. V'aditanya ein loker mishum Rabbi Yosi Aglili amra. And Rabbi Yochanan says, and I agree with his Rebbe. I agree with Rabbi Yosi Aglili, not with Rabbi Yehuda himself. Period. Okay. Tanan Hasan. Hanotel Emel Banim. So now we're going to get into the issue of Bitl of Lo Bitlu, right? We said that if you have a Lava Nita Glase, typically you don't get Malkus for it unless you make it that you're never going to be able to do the Mitzvah Sase in the future. Now you can get Malkus for the violation of the Lav. So Hanotel Emel Banim. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Lo Kaveinu Mishaleach. Rabbi Yehuda says, Lava Nita Glase, you're going to get Malkus, and it's not about doing the Mitzvah Sase. You can get Malkus for being notel emal abanim for violation of shiluach hakein, and it's not the way to address the problem of having violated is not by just being mishaleach. Because when the Torah says shaleach shalach hasein, they're supposed to send away the mother. It means before you take anything. Once you've already taken it, it's too late. It's no longer a lav hanitik lasei. It is what we would call a lav shekidmo asei. The asei was supposed to precede the lav. The Chum amrim mishaleach veinaloka. And the Chum say no, it's nitik lasei. You can still fix it by sending away the mother. Zaklal. Kol mitzvos lo sase yeshesh b'kum ase ein chayav nalah. Any mitzvos lo sase where there's a kum ase, there's a mitzvos ase to fix it, you don't get malchus. Am Rabbi Yochanan ein lanu elazos va'odacheres. So Rabbi Yochanan comments that the idea that if you were to be mishaleach, if you were not to be mishaleach, you'd get malchus. The idea of bitla v'labitla, which is Rabbi Yochanan's shita, that if you take away any possibility of ever being mekayim the asay, you taka would get malchus. That can only be applied to shiluach hakein and one other mitzvah in the Torah. Why shiluach hakein? How do you ever take away the possibility of being mishaleach the mother? Let's say you kill the mother. So you violated Shiluach HaKein, you violated the Isser, and now you can't fix it, you can't do the Asay of sending away the mother. So that would be an example of Bitl V'la Bitl, where if one were to kill the mother. But there's this example, and there's only one other in the Torah. So Amalei Rav Lazar, Hecha. Rav Lazar says, what's the other one? Amalei L'chi Tishkach. Go look for it, see what you find. Nafak Dak V'yashkach. So Rav Lazar got his homework. He went and he started searching. What's the other example of bitl v'bitl? Titania, he says as follows. The Brisa tells us, ones shigiresh. If a guy is ma'anis a woman, so the halacha is velosia the isha, he has to be married to her, and he's lo yuchal shalcha kliyamav. He's never allowed to divorce her, right? So if he's megarish, if he divorces her, so he still has losia l'isha. He still has a mitzvah saseh to stay married to remarry her. So im Yisrael hu machzir vein aloka. So if he's Yisrael, lavanita klasei, remarry her, and then you won't get malchus. V'im kohen hu loka vein machzir. If he's a kohen, well then it's not a lavanita. To class A. There is no way to fix it because it's an iser for him to be machzire grusha. So hani chlamandatani kimu v'lo kimu elamandatani bitlu v'lo bitlu. Well, wait, that works if you assume kimu v'lo kimu. I understand how you would get malchus if you're Yisrael in that case. What happens? The Yisrael is ma'anes a woman. He marries her. He divorces her in violation of the lav. We want to give him malchus, so we tell him, listen, buddy, you got to be mekayim the assay right now. And if you're not mekayim the assay, we're going to give you malchus. Kimu v'lo kimu, he's going to get malchus. But what if you hold bitlu v'lo bitlu? You hold that the only way he's going to get malchus is if he takes away any possibility in the future of ever being mekayim the assay. How does that apply over here? So bishla megavi shluach hakein mishkachesla. By shluach hakein, I get it. You kill the mother bird, so now you have no opportunity ever of being mekayim the assay. Ela ones bitlu v'lo bitlu echim mishkachesla. But how does it apply to a case of being ma'anes a woman? Well, what? You want to say you do the same to her as you did to the mother bird? You kill her, so now you're never going to have the opportunity to be mekayim the asay. Well, kam lebidramine, you got bigger tzaras if you killed her. Then we apply kam lebidramine, you're going to be chayv misa if you kill her. So the Gilyan Ashas, Rabbi Kivager points out, not necessarily kashliya mishkachas tais a treifa deinu chayv misa. What if she was a treifa? Well, you're not chayv misa for killing a treifa. When we call makom b'pshuta yachiv alav diuchal l'shalcha v'asay d'losia li'isha, probably all the other mitzvahs still apply to her. Probably you still have the iser that you're not allowed to divorce her. You still have the mitzvah of losiel isha, even if she's deathly ill, she's going to die within a year. Probably you still have those mitzvos, but you don't have the chiyuv misa for killing a treifa. So Rabbi Akiva Eger leaves that as a tzaruch iyun. Now, if you look in Tosos says another problem. The imesa imkain lo batla ihu. So Tosos says, well, if she dies on her own, he wasn't the one that was mevatel. So that's not a problem. Vim tomar dilma mayri dekata umikol makom la vikom the bedarmine de mayri sharuga b'shogeg. Maybe he killed her, but he did it b'shogeg. So now he's not going to be chayiv misa. And there's a case of bitlu v'bitlu. He took away the opportunity to ever do the mitzvah saseh, and we're going to give him malchus because he's not getting misa. He killed her b'shogeg. So says Tosfos Yeshlam Dimkein Hainu Kamo Mesa Me'aleha. Kivin da harga shalobim skavin, that when you kill someone shalobim skavin, you kill someone b'shogeg, that's not considered that he killed her, that he was mevatel the opportunity to ever do the assay again. That's considered as if it happened on its own, since it wasn't a conscious act on his part. So Tosos points, the Gilin Hashas, Rabbi Akiva Eger again points out in this Tosos, yeah, okay, what if he kills her b'mezid without asra'a? I mean, you can come up with cases where he kills her, and he's doing it, clearly doing it, and yet he's not going to be chayiv misa. So Rabbi Akiva Eger leaves all these things as a tzarichi, and we don't know. But somehow the Gemara rejects the possibility of killing the woman as a way of being mevatel any opportunity in the future of being mekayim mitzvah saseh, because when you kill the woman, you're not going to get malchus, you're going to get misa. So what's the case? Why is it that, how could it be that by ones, in a situation of ones, we're going to call that bitlu v'lo bitlu, that you rid yourself of any opportunity to be mekayim the mitzvah in the future? Some Rav Simi Michuzna Gon Shekiba La Kiddushin Me'acher. Case might be where she was Makabel Kiddushin from somebody else. Yes, a man is allowed to be Machzer Grushaso if he's not a Kohen, but not if she married someone else in between. So if he was Makabel Kiddushin for her from somebody else, so it has to be that the guy did it, that the guy who violated the Isser of divorcing her was Mevatel the opportunity. So he had to be the one that was Makabel Kiddushin for her from somebody else. So in that way, he was mevatel the opportunity. So Rav says, no, it doesn't work. Because if she made him a shliach to be mekabel that kiddushin, then he's not the one that was mevatel the opportunity. She was the one that was mevatel the opportunity by making him a shliach to be mekabel the kiddushin. And if she didn't make him a shliach, well, he can't just make himself a shliach to be makabel kiddushin from somebody else. Such a kiddushin is totally ineffective. So what does that even mean? He's makabel kiddushin. That doesn't do anything. So what would be the case? We're still stuck. Why is ones a case of bitlu v'lo bitlu? How can you ever have a guy that divorces the woman illegally and now is mevatel any opportunity of fulfilling lo siya l'isha? And one of the achronim in the back of the Gemara, he says, it could be that he's that it's a case where she got married to somebody else and he's the one that's mevatel it. Not that he's mekabel kiddushin for her, but you know, the Gemara tells us, Mesechs Kiddushin, Mesechs Babasra, till you have a kaddish kiddusha kiddushin. Let's say you force a woman into a kiddushin. The guy is having trouble in shiduchin, so he just gets so frustrated. He finds a girl that he likes and he hangs her up on a tree and says, be mekabel kiddushin or I'm not letting you down. So the halacha, and she says, okay, I'll accept the kiddushin. She takes the kiddushin. Halacha is meikra din, kiddusha kiddushin. It's a valid kiddushin. So maybe that's the case. He forces her. He's the one that does it. How? By forcing her to accept kiddushin me'acher, not from himself, from somebody else. So wouldn't that be a case of bitlu v'lo bitlu? Okay, a good kasha. It's a kasha, I think, Paras Yosef asks in the back of the Gemara. But for some reason, the Gemara doesn't raise that as a possibility. So what is the possibility? What's the case of bitlu v'lo bitlu by ones? Ella amrav simin arda gon shi dira berabim. The case is he took a neder that she's never allowed to get hana from him in public, and there's no way out of such a neder, so therefore they can never get remarried. That works very well if you assume that in neder that's huda barabim, there's no way to ever be mefer. What if you hold that you can be mefer such a neder? So the medirala al das rabim, it's even stronger. Not just that he was medira her birabim, but al das rabim. He makes his neder talui on the das of the rabim. It's just a matter of how you formulate the neder. It's just a stronger formulation when you say that it's al das rabim. Machlokes Rishonim, whether it has to actually be in front of rabim or not, but at least that formulation formulation that it's aldas rabim. Damar amemar hilchsa neder shudar birabim yesh lo hafara. Aldas rabim ein lo hafara. That if you make the neder aldas rabim, there's no hafara for the neder. Period. So the Gemara seems satisfied now. We found the second case of bitlu v'lo bitlu. We have shiluach hakein where you kill the mother, so you're never able to be mekayim the aseh in the future, and a case where a guy divorces his ones victim and he takes away his possibility of ever remarrying or of losi elisha by taking a neder al das rabim that she's not allowed to get hana from him. Just parenthetically, the Tosus points out that what would be the case of idira barabim? The Rashi writes, pirusha kuntra shematzala avon sha'asur lo v'idira. He took the neder because he found that she had violated some iser that made her usur to him, so that's why he was madira. V'lo nira, says Tosa, I don't think that's correct. If she's usher to him, then he has no mitzvah to, then there's no mitzvah to see Elisha to begin with. No, he stopped took a neder because he wanted to take a neder. Nothing to do with any guilt on her part. She did nothing wrong. He just stopped, decided that he was going to take a neder. But now that we found both examples of bitlu v'lo bitlu, where you rid yourself of any opportunity to be mekayim the mitzvah in the future, and that's why you're going to get malchus for the violation of the lav, even though it's technically a lav anita klasei, the Gemara says, wait, there must be more. V'suleka, are these really the only examples? V'ha'ika, but aren't there, and we're going to suggest three more possibilities, and then the simon to the three possibilities, it's an easy simon to figure out. Gezel, mashko, and upeya, because one of them is gezel, one of them is mashko, and one of them is peya. This is, some simonim are like cryptic. This one is pretty clear. Gezel, drachman amar, lo sigzol, veheish vesagzela. Gezel is a situation, Torah says don't steal, and the Torah says it's nitak la'asei, by veheish vesagzela, by returning the gzela. Mashko, drachman amar, lo savel, besel, avot, avoto, pasuk says you're not allowed to take a mashkon forcefully, or you're not allowed to take a mashkon from an ani that he needs, and hashev tashivlo avot kiva hashemesh. You have to give back whatever you took illegally, or if you took from an ani, you have to give back as he needs it. And we certainly see how you could be in violation of the lav and get malchus if you hold kimu v'lo kimu. Bezin tells you, go return the mashkon or the gezel right now, and you say no, so good, so you get malchus, and we can even find it by bitlu v'lo bitlu. You get rid of it. You destroy the item. So now I can't return the mashkon. I can't return the gezel. So says Gemara, Hasam kivan dechayv b'tashlumin ein loko mishalim. No, even if you destroy it, so now you're a mazik. So now you owe the money. So if you owe the money, you're not going to get malchus because you owe money for the item. It's ein loko mishalim. Maskef l'Rabbi Zeir rahik mashkon shel ger umes hager. I could find a case where you destroy the mashkon, so now you can't return it, and you're still not going to be chayv tashlumin, because the mashkon was taken from a ger, and the ger has since died. So now there's no chiyuv tashlumin, so you should get malchus because of bitlu v'lo bitlu. So says Gemara, hasam gaber bar tashlumin hu v'shibudu de ger hu de kapaka. No, it is a chiyuv tashlumin. It's just that there's no one to pay it back to. But there's definitely a chiyuv tashlumin in that case. You were a mazik, his mashkon. So that's why those two examples don't work in bitlu v'lo bitlu, because even if you destroy it, you're still not going to get malchus, because you chayv tashlumin when you destroy it. So the Gemara suggests, yeah, but there's one more. There's another example that might work as a case of a lava nita klasei, but because of bitl v'lo bitl, you're going to be chayv malchus. Ve'ika peya. There is the example of peya. Rachmana amar lo schala pa'as sadcha, that you're not supposed to continue harvesting your whole field. You have to leave off the corner, and it's a lo sasei not to harvest it. And then lo ani v'lager tazov osam. You have a mitzvah sasei to leave it for the ani and the ger. You could find, certainly if they tell you, okay, right now, give it to the ani, and you refuse, so that's kimu v'lo kimu, and you can find bitlu v'lo bitlu if you go and you process it, and you destroy it, you ruin the it's no longer grain, now it's flour, so now you've made it, that it's no longer grain, and so you're not going to be chayv in peya anymore, so you've been mevatel the opportunity of ever being mekayim, the mitzvah saseh of peya, because the Mishnah tells us, mitzvah peya lafresh mina kamen. Really, ideally, the way peya is supposed to be done is just simply don't harvest it. Leave standing grain in the field, let the aniyim come and take it. Lo ifresh mina kama, if you didn't do that, you harvested your old field, mafresh mina umrin. Okay, but you have piles of grain out in the field, leave those piles of grain in the corner of your field for the aniyim, and that too is a mitzvah of peya. That would work. Lo ifresh mina umrin, mafresh mina kri. Oh no, you've already processed, you've already piled up all the not just bundled up the grain, but you've already made a whole pile in the kri ad shalom ireach. You just haven't smoothed out the pile of grain. Still, you could still give some of it as payah. Mirchu, once you've already though smoothed out the pile, then you lost out. Then it's no longer payah ma'aser v'nosin though. Then you just take. Then ma'aser v'nosin though, you could still do it even if it became chayv and meiser. So because you were memareach the kri, you smoothed out the pile. Okay, good. So take the meisros, but then still give the payah. But the bottom line is that's where it ends. Once you go beyond that, once you already grind it and you turn it to flour, then apparently you lose the opportunity to do peah. So that's why peah should be an example of an opportunity to be mevatel the chance of ever doing the mitzvah saseh. How are you mevatel the chance of ever doing the mitzvah saseh? Not by bundling it, not by piling in it, not by smoothing the pot, but by grinding it and turning it into flour. So answers the market, Rabbi Yishmael. Maybe we're assuming like Rabbi Yishmael, Da'amar, Af Mafrish Mene Isa. Rabbi Yishmael holds even after you grind it into flour and you make it into a dough, you could still give peah. Says Gemara, yeah, but Rabbi Shmuel namish kachso da achal isa. And then what if you eat it? So if you eat it, now you can't give peah anymore. No. So isn't peah an example of bitl v'lo bitl? Just we keep saying, well, you're still chayev in peah. So there's a point where you're not chayev anymore. Whatever that point is, whether it's when you grind it, it's at least when you eat it. At least then you get to the point where you're not chayev in peah anymore. So isn't that a case of bitl v'lo bitl? How can you say zosfo recheres that there are only two examples, and those two examples are Shiloah Chakein and being Machzir an Anusa, that those are the two examples. Here we have Peah as a third example. Ella Zos V'Aracheres Aha. So Gemara says, you're right. When we said Zos V'Aracheres, it was Shiloah Chakein and it was Peah. Ones was not an example. But why not? We explained that Ones is an example. Aval Ones lo. Why? Dehecha amrinan al das rab meinu afara l'dvar arshus. Al dvar mitzvah yesh l'afara. Because there's no way you can ever rob yourself of the opportunity to remarry her. What was the case that we gave before? You took a neder al das rabim, and there's no getting out of that neder. B'makom mitzvah, there is getting out of that neder. There's a hafara for such a neder. If the neder is b'makom mitzvah, you have a mitzvah not to take such a neder. You have a mitzvah to marry her. Ki aha da hu mikri dardiki da v'pasha b'yanuki. And we bring a raya that you can be made for such a neder even when it's al das rabim, if it's b'makom mitzvah. Because there was a certain teacher of young children who was beating up the kids. So adre ravacha. Ravacha took a neder. This teacher should never be permitted to teach the children again. V'hadri ravina. And Ravina undid that neder. Because the kids came out knowing. They were, for all of his wrong tactics, the kids knew the Torah that he taught them very, very well. So they couldn't find another Rebbe that was that good. So they undid the neder. How did they undo neder? It was al das rab, but it was b'makom mitzvah. So the Achronim, of course, add, and he did tshuva, and he said he wasn't going to do this anymore because if he was hurting the children, so then we wouldn't just rehire him. Or it was different times. I don't know, but that's the assumption that was not the example of bitlu b'bitlu. The second example of bitlu b'bitlu is in fact the case of peah. So the Achronim are all bothered. Are these the only cases? Isn't there another case that you can come up with of bitlu v'lo bitlu? There's a discussion about the mitzvah to destroy chametz. Tashvisu sa'ar mi bateichem. Are you mekayim the mitzvah? Let's say you don't actually physically destroy the chametz. You're mevatel the chametz b'shishim. On a daraisa level, midrabanan we say chametz zasar mashahu, and it can't be batel, that there's no bitl of chametz in the taroves on Pesach. Before Pesach, yeah, but on Pesach, no. Let's say you have chametz on Pesach, on a daraisa level, it's batel b'shishim. So you don't destroy it, you're mevatel b'shishim. The Nodeb Yehuda writes in the Tshuvan, Madura Tinyana, or Chaim Simon Sadi Aleph, and Rabbi Kiv Eger in Madura Kama Simon Yates, that in the mitzvah of Tashbisu is that the chametz has to be destroyed from the world by being by mixing it in with Rov Heter. You're not mekayim the mitzvah of Tashbisu, because the chametz still exists in the world, even though it's no longer halachically chametz. You're not in violation of Bali Rab Bali Matzah for it anymore, because the Isser has turned into Heter. However, the Avnei Nezer in Or Chaim Sim Shin Lamed Vav writes on Rabbi Kiveger that he doesn't agree, he doesn't think it's true. He says that even by being Oker the Shame chametz, you're also Mekayim the Mitzvah of Ashvasa, because through the Tarovis it no longer has a Din chametz. So Rabbi Kiveger says, points out that l'chora our sugya is a raya, because the Gemara tries to find a lav anita klasei where you could be mevatel the opportunity to ever do that asay be a dayim. Rabbi Kivir says, according to my own svara, that it is not a fulfillment of tashbisu to make a tarovis of chametz. So he says l'chora I found another case of bitul v'bitul. Right? How are you? There's a lo sase balira balimatse. It's nita klase of tashbisu. You could destroy it. Is there a way to rid yourself of the opportunity to ever do tashbisu, to ever be mekayim tashbisu? So he says, if you hold that by mixing it beheter, you haven't fulfilled tashbisu, you've robbed yourself of the opportunity to do tashbisu because you've turned the chametz into heter without fulfilling tashbisu. Also, you'll tell me, no, I'll just destroy the whole mixture. But that's not tashbisu either, because now you're destroying heter. You're not destroying chametz, you're destroying heter. So that wouldn't be a fulfillment of tashbisu either. So he says, l'chora, isn't this a raya that you are in fulfillment of tashbisu when you mix it barov heter? So the Avni Nezer says, nah, it's not a kasha, because it could be that you haven't really been mevatel. Because what happens if you take a little bit of chametz, you mix it with a lot of heter, good today, and then you wait an hour, and then you take a whole bunch more chametz and put it into that same taroves. The original chametz is chozer v'neir. The chametz isn't gone forever. The original chametz comes back. So therefore, you haven't forever rid yourself of the possibility of tashbisu, even by being mevatel. So you have such creative discussions in the Achronim. There are many more such creative discussions in the Achronim of trying to come up with more cases of bitul v'bitul. But not for now. We have to get moving here. So says the Gemara, the Mishnah said, you also get malchus if you eat nevelos, trefus, shkatzur, masim. So Amar Rav Yehuda, haiman da achal binisa de bekarva. If a person eats a certain type of worm that could be found in cabbage, malkin le mishum sharitz sharitz al aretz. He gets malchus for sharitz sharitz al aretz. Who da achal binisa de bekarva v'nagde Rav Yehuda. In fact, someone once ate this and Rav Yehuda gave him malchus. Tosus is wondering what the chiddush is. Of course, you eat a sharitz, you get malchus. Meaning, well, what's the great chiddush? So Tosus quotes Rabbi Natan that binisa is a small kind. It's a small fish, and you could find it if you find it in the water. It would be mutter because it has fins and scales. But if you find it in the cabbage, where apparently there's enough moisture for it to live, it now is a sharitz sharitz al aretz. Now that's a great chiddush. That the same creature you find in one place is going to be a fish and is going to be mutter, and you find it in another place is going to be a sharitz sharitz al aretz. Question is, it might be too big of a chiddush. But that's what Tosus suggests. Amra bai achul putisa. If a person eats a certain sharitz hamayim, then loka arba, he gets four malchios. Nimala, if he eats a certain type of bug, loka chamesh, mishum sharitz sharitz al aretz. You get the four of the shratze hamayim plus the additional one of sharitz sharitz al aretz. Tzira, if he eats a hornet, loka sheish, he gets six malchios, mishum sharitz ha'of, because he has all the other five plus sharitz ha'of. There's an interesting discussion. If a person, let's say, when he eats tzira, he finds it disgusting. He eats a hornet, he thinks a hornet is disgusting. But in the mala, he finds delicious. And a person is a cholash yesh basakana, and he needs to eat one of these things. Should you eat the one that is fewer isurim, but you think is delicious, you get more hana'a from it, or the one that's more isurim, but you don't get hana'a from it? So that relates to a major machlokas in the Achronim, whether the isur of achila is really a form of an isur hana'a. If you hold that it's a form of an isur hana'a, then maybe you could argue that if you're not getting hana'a from it, that it would be considered shaloka derech achila and would be a lesser isur, even though there are more lavin associated with it. Now, once we mention the isurim related to shaktu, says the Gemara, Amar Rav Achai, hamasha es nekava vovam rishum lo tishaktu. If a person holds himself in from going to the bathroom, it's a violation of lo tishaktu. Martzchius points out, it's a whole discussion in the Rishonim, is that lo tishaktu midor raisa? Or are we saying no? It's midrabanan lo tishaktu. Amar Rabbi Barbai, Haiman deshasi bekarna du umna. If a person drinks from a bloodletting utensil, so ka'avar mishum lo tishaktu, it's a violation of lo tishaktu. The Gilyoni Ashas of Yosef Engel says, and what about by violation of Yisurim? If you drink from a karna du umna, is that considered shaloka derech achila? So if let's say you need to eat on Yom Kippur, so if you need to drink on Yom Kippur, if you drink out of a karna du umna, is that the the better way to do it, because it's shelo kederech achila, and therefore would be better. Meaning, how disgusting is it? Is it so disgusting? It's disgusting enough that it's a violation of lo teshaktu. Is it so disgusting that we could even use that as a svar lekula? So that's an interesting suffix in the achronim. Amar Rava Bar Rav Huna, risek tishon amalim vehevi echod chai v'shliman lekazayis. Let's say you crush up 9 bugs, and then you bring one full bug, and now it's a kazayis altogether. Lo kevav, you get 6 malkios. Hey mishum beria, 5 for eating the full bug. Vech mishum kazayis nevela. And now altogether you have a kazayis nevela. Rava Amar Rav Yochanan, afilu shnayim vahu. Even if it's 2 crushed bugs and the 1 whole bug. Rav Yosef, afilu echod vahu. Even if it's 1 crushed bug and the 1 whole bug. Velo pligli, haba ravri, haba zutri. It's all a question of what it takes to be mashlim the kazayis. If the bugs are a little bit bigger, you may only need 2 to get a kazayis. If the bugs are a little bit smaller, you may need 10 to get a kazayis. Tosos wonders what exactly the chiddush is. Of course, a kazayis. So, you know, what difference does it make? 9 or 2? And Tosos says, and 1. And if it's 1 that's a kazayis, that also would be lokas sheish. So yeah, but 1 that's a kazayis is highly unlikely that you're going to find 1 that's so big. But still, the kasha is a very strong kasha. Why it makes a difference if it's 9 or it's 2 or any other number. Okay, Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up a Dachal Tevel in my Sirisha. All right.